We talked this morning at the sunrise service, and I gave you part one of this sermon. I read to you an obituary written by an outsider to the faith, that Jesus was a rabble-rouser, was a criminal, executed, cursed on a cross. A week ago, we saw the movie Risen. A group of about 12 to 15 of us went. We were in the lounge and we saw this film written from the perspective of a Gentile, a Roman soldier. Jesus' resurrection was profoundly different for them than it was for the disciples. It produced a lot of anxiety, a lot of questions, a lot of mystery. It became a criminal investigation. Of course, it was believed that the disciples had stolen his body. They were going to start something. They were going to start trouble. The Romans dealt with it as the Romans usually do, rounding people up, arresting them, questioning them, threatening them with the same execution that was done to their master, their teacher. The reaction they got was perplexing for this Roman soldier. They found people, Mary Magdalene, Thomas, who were perplexed, but yet so joyful, so happy, so changed. It intrigued the soldier. It intrigued him to the point where he wanted to know more, to the point where he couldn't give it up, even though his boss, Pilate, had said, well, let's set it aside. I need you for something else. He wouldn't let it go. It was an itch for him that wouldn't go away. Increasingly, Jesus Christ is seen from the outside in our society, in our culture out there, more and more. The media, the TV, schools, culture at large. No longer are we the dominant worldview of things, the Christian perspective. To many people, this is something to mourn over, something to lament over. And there's many things that we miss from that. There's many benefits that we used to enjoy that are no longer the case. Here in Galleon, we still have a great deal of liberty to meet and pray and to express ourselves in public square next month. Here in Galleon, the National Day of Prayer is going to be outside, downtown, as a civic event. Baccalaureate invites in pastors into the high school to pray and have a worship service with the graduating seniors. The Galleon Area Religious Education Program teaches Bible studies and classes after school. We enjoy the liberty. But slowly things are eroding away. No longer are we the ones who are dictating what to believe, what should be truth. And there's drawbacks, but there is also opportunity. Opportunity because of those circumstances that we find ourselves under in the 21st century. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is talking to the people in Corinth, the believers there, that to them, preaching Christ crucified was a stumbling block to the Jew and foolishness to the Gentile. What does he mean? Well, for Jews, having Jesus crucified was a failure to them. He was not the Messiah. He could not possibly be the Messiah if he died, especially died on a cross, the worst form of execution there was, an execution that was supposed to quell any doubt, any sort of ideas of rebellion. Jesus was supposed to have been cursed. A death on a cross was supposed to be a curse to the people being executed. Yet God turned it around, turned a curse into a blessing, turned such a death into such a life that flowered and bloomed and spread. Foolishness to the Greek, foolishness and utter nonsense to the Gentile. Why? Because in the Gentile world and in the Greek world, you came at faith through the eyes of wisdom. Yet to the wise, the truly wise, Christ is the way, Paul argued. In both ways, the Jews looked for signs that he was the Messiah. The Greeks looked for reason that he was the Messiah. In both ways, he was. Why? Why? Because of the reason we are gathered here today. Easter. Easter. This is the reason we are here. This is the reason we are assembled. This is the reason why there is a building here. This is the reason why we were taught since we were children about the love of God is because of the empty tomb. Everything changed on that day. Everything changed. But it took the disciples a while. It took them a while to kind of come around. Our scriptures say that those who came to the empty tomb were wondering what it meant. What does this mean? They didn't understand. Angels came and explained it to them, and then I think they were a little bit more excited. The women went and told the rest of the disciples, and of course, they needed some more convincing. It took them a couple of weeks and for Jesus to appear to them, not just secondhand or thirdhand knowledge, to appear to them in particular before they were changed and believed. See, before they looked for the living among the dead, before that made sense to them that that's where Jesus would be, despite what he had taught, despite what he said before in his ministry, all those times about the third day, this story, all the symbolism about the building being destroyed, and I will rebuild it on what? The third day. They were so overcome by their grief, they had those dark glasses on. They were remembering and still operating on that earthly level, on that Friday level. Took them longer than a day to get to Sunday. Then they began to tell others. Sounds like foolishness. Sounds like nonsense. It sounded like nonsense to the 11. His chosen 11. Sounded like nonsense. Sounded like nonsense probably to so many people. The years and the decades afterwards. What, you worship this guy? A guy that was crucified? Yeah, he rose from the dead? Yeah, right. There was nobody there. Okay, sure. No one in the tomb. It was empty. You sure? Right. How much have you had to drink? They probably seemed pretty peculiar, pretty strange folk. Perhaps that's what we need. To be a little bit more peculiar. To be a little bit odd. To be a little bit different than the rest of the world. To be set aside more from culture. To give an option. A different outlook. A different view of things. God's view. The empty tomb view. Downstairs, I ask, who are these people? Who are you that come to worship Christ today? This guy, this rabble-rouser, this criminal, the guy that was cursed on the cross. Who are you? What kind of particular people are you? Well, you're people that believe in the power of God, certainly. People of the resurrection believe in the power of God. They believe that God can do things. They believe that God is still doing things. They believe in this three-day story, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They believe in the wisdom of God. They believe in the teachings of God. They believe in the stories and the parables about love, about the love of God that Jesus shared with us. I had a friend that asked the question, well, my son's been asking a lot of questions, and he's 6, about Jesus. And did Jesus really physically rise from the dead? And I said, well, I actually believe that. Despite my liberal education and my view of things, my theology, yes, Jesus was unique. Jesus was particular. And then she says, well, I don't want him to get the wrong idea that people can come back from the dead. And I thought to myself, well, why not? This is later on. Why not? Do we want to view the grave as the final chapter? Isn't that a basic tenet of who we are? We don't view the grave as the final destination. Eventually, our graves will all be emptied. What remains of us will be brought into God. And we will be with him in the heavenly feast. Believe in that story? If we are particular people, if we are peculiar people, we believe that there is always something more. That God is always leading us onward. That God is always pointing us to somewhere beyond where we are, not to be stuck in the tomb. Don't linger there long. Go on to Galilee. I'm going to meet you there, Jesus said to the disciples. So if we are people of the resurrection, we don't dwell on things of the world for too long. Why? Because we have hope. Because we have this resurrected spirit within us. We cannot allow ourselves to linger in dismay. We don't look at death the same. We believe in forgiveness. We believe in second chances. And so therefore, we reach out to people who are those rabble-rousers, those criminals, those people who are rough. Offering them a safe place, offering them a place to hear the grace of God, offering them open doors, comfort, love, attention, affection. We believe in the power of God to transform not only our lives, but everyone's. Nobody is too far gone. Nobody is too far gone. Jesus was not too far gone. He had a death unlike most. Crucifixion was brutal. There was no doubt in people's mind that he was dead, yet the grave was empty. We believe in transformation, believe that God can do things. Let's be peculiar. Let's be people that are set aside, that are holy, people that are set off against what the world values, what culture values. Let's be peculiar for God. May the living one dwell within us this day, this year. Amen.